Did you know that the pet care industry is a billion-dollar industry and it is continuously growing? But are the people who care for your pets growing as well? I'm Dara Forleo, and on The Business of Pet Care, we are going to talk about what really goes on behind the scenes of those grooming tables, those daycare walls, and those social media filters. Welcome to The Business of Pet Care. I am your host, Dara Forleo, and on this show, we are lighting on the world of animal care, exploring both the practical and the profound ways of supporting our pets and the people who love them and the people behind the scenes who are working so hard to take care of them. Today, I am so excited to be able to introduce you to someone who helps bridge this powerful bond between animals and their humans. Our guest today, or my guest today, is Deb Hennin of Heart to Spirit, and she is a professional animal communicator. Yes, I said that. A professional animal communicator. But not only that, Deb goes beyond that. She is a Reiki practitioner. She is a and I believe if I'm saying this right, Deb, a pet hospice consultant and an instructor, and she's teaching pet owners how to be able to connect on a deeper level with your animals. So Deb, thank you so much for joining us today. Or I say us for me, but for everybody out there watching and listening, this is absolutely amazing what you do. And you know, I really want to start with first, and I think a lot of people are going to ask, what is animal communication? I mean, that's been such a basic, simple question, but it probably isn't such a basic, simple, easy question.
Right. So in a nutshell, animal communication is intuition. Okay. Intuition is what we think of as telepathic communication, okay? When maybe we get an image, a sound, a thought, or a feeling from our pet, and learning to just sort of be aware of that and that connection that we have with them.
It is... So you're saying all these great things, signs, signals, body language, are there cues? What are we really trying to better understand?
So animal communication involves several different things, right? Body language is definitely one of them. The more we can tune into our pet's body language, whether it's ears or tails or noses, even their eyes, we are going to pick up a whole lot from our animals. Secondly, it involves the energy. Okay. Our animals pick up on our energy and we pick up on theirs. They know when we're nervous. Hopefully we know when they're nervous, whether it's body language or just we can feel that tension. It is the telepathic communication. Okay, so, you know, it's just like when we think about a person and all of a sudden they're texting us or calling us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
You know, that is intuition.
Yeah.
And that is what we learn to kind of use with our animals.
So when you're doing, we call readings, and somebody calls you to do one of their pets, you do this over the phone, you do this in their house. What does that look like?
For me, I do my consultations over Zoom.
Okay. Over Zoom. Okay.
I have them send me a photo of their pet.
Yep.
And then that's how I am able to connect with their pet. I tune into their energy, their feelings, all of those things we've kind of mentioned. Mm-hmm. And that's how I connect with them. I almost always do over Zoom, very rarely in person.
Okay.
And that way too, I can provide a recording for people.
Oh, that's a great idea.
You know,
I would imagine that is something I haven't heard that one being done, but as an owner, to be able to refer back to it, just to have that, because I'm scribbling notes or trying to keep up with what's going on and not taking it all in. What a great idea.
Yeah. That way they can focus on the conversation.
Yep.
And then, like you say, go back and make their notes from everything.
Yeah. What do you think animals, what do they want to tell us? I mean, if I'm calling, you know, what do you think that, I would imagine they're all different, but you know.
Yeah.
They all have a lot of repeats.
Exactly. There are a lot of repeats.
Okay.
What people want to know is my pet happy?
Yeah.
What can I do better? What, you know, what do they like? Those kind of things. But what the pets want to talk about a lot of times is, you know, just focus on me, right? Take a few minutes and really be with me rather than we don't have to be doing things, right?
Yeah.
Just be.
Just
be. And pets really, they love to be able to tell their point of view about things.
I have one that judges everything. And I just know it. He could just be sitting there and he's like, I'm totally judging you right now. And just the way he looks and...
It happens.
He's over here judging me right now. I can tell you. He's over in the corner going, I know you're talking about me. What's a really neat moment that you had, an aha moment? First off, I didn't even ask. Tell me a little bit about yourself. How did you get into this? What brought you into animal communication? I mean, it's not exactly a college,
right?
University. Yeah. I'm going to apply for school to do this, or are you?
Yeah, believe it or not, I was in a very technical IT field for over 40 years, and but all along with that, I was always very connected with animals. I don't know that I particularly was communicating with them, but I always felt more comfortable with the animals than the people. And so when I even learned that animal communication was a thing, well, I went and I took a 2-day seminar, and I got to admit, the first day it was like, what am I even doing? I'm not picking up anything, right?
Like, and everything then, else, it takes practice.
Right? Yeah, exactly. But by the end of the second day, I was hooked.
Wow.
Cool. Oh, I had a most beautiful experience. A dog came in to the seminar, and the other dogs were barking at her. Okay. They, for some reason, were not happy that she was there. So anyway, our instructor had us tune into her and see what we could figure out. Well, she put her head in my lap. And it was like I was transformed, right? I was walking with her along this beautiful path, flowers and trees all along the sides. And I realized then that she was telling me that she was getting ready to cross.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Oh.
And that's
the other dogs all sensed it.
Yes. And that's why they didn't want her there. It was like they could tell that her energy was different.
Yep. Wow.
It was, and oh my God.
Wow. That is crazy.
That after that experience, you couldn't have stopped me.
Yeah, I can imagine an experience like that. Now, do you know, did anybody else pick up on that? Or
I'm not really, you know, honestly, I don't remember. Okay. I was so wrapped up in my own experience. Yeah, that,
I'm sure.
Yeah. And so then after that, then I found a professional animal communicator program. Actually, the only one in the country that's accredited. You might know a little bit about that.
I know a little bit about that, but we don't have to talk about that. But we can say you are one of the few diplomaed animal communicators in the world. I mean, it's that's formal education at its finest right there.
Exactly. Exactly. And so, yeah. And then after graduating from that program, I just started doing readings for friends and family and kind of kept going. Wow.
Well, we're going to come back to that in a moment. So I want you to keep that thought there, and we are going to take a quick break and be back after this message. Welcome back to the Business of Pet Care. If you are loving what you're watching, do not miss a moment of the Business of Pet Care or any of your Now Media TV shows, live or on demand, anytime, anywhere. And don't forget, you can download our free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our full lineup on demand, again, anytime, anywhere, and in both English and Spanish. If you prefer listening on the go, you can catch this podcast versions but you can catch them on your favorite podcast channels, and you can also catch it on nowmedia.tv. For business and breaking news to lifestyle, culture, and everything in between, Now Media is streaming 24/7, ready wherever you are. And we are back now with Deb Hennen. And in this segment, we're going to take a little step back and talk about some sad stuff, because there's a part of owning animals, and we have that moment of losing those pets. So I know I don't even like talking about it and don't like thinking about it, because it makes me want to cry thinking about losing somebody. So today, you know what? What are we going to start this off with, Deb? I'm going to let you take it from here. Why is it so? I mean, losing a pet is rough. Losing a family member or friend is rough, but man, these little guys do something to our hearts.
They do. You know, pets are one of the few beings that we truly get unconditional love from.
That is so true.
Yeah. And so when we lose them, it's oftentimes harder for us than it is losing a person. And kind of in with that is that not everybody understands what it's like to lose a pet, right? Because those of us who truly love our pets and treat them like family members, it's different than people who just don't understand. They call that disenfranchised grief.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're grieving, but other people are saying, oh, it's just a dog. It's just a cat.
Yeah, it's just a cat. It's just
Come on, get over it. Well, you know, it just doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
When we lose a pet, we go through all the stages of grief. And, you know, it's important to remember those aren't necessarily linear. Okay. You know, it may be, you know, anger and sadness and denial, and then back to sadness and back to denial. And, you know, and you may be doing fine for a while, and then a song comes on and you're blubbering driving down the road, you know. But those little people, I call them people, you know, those little people are in our hearts, and the grief is real.
Yeah, it is. And I'm going to ask, because maybe you've dealt with this also, and we do have a lot of pet industry professionals that watch and listen in, and we get not only connected with our own animals, but the animals we service. Being a groomer, we've made years and years of grooming the same pets over and over again. My emotional connection with them has been great. And it's like losing, when the family loses them, the loss is for us too.
Exactly.
How can, and probably for you, how can we support each other in this? Because I don't know if people talk about that.
You know, and that's the thing. I like to remind people, tell the stories, right?
Yeah.
Tell the stories about your pets, what made them so special. And we humans tend to not want to talk about death, not want to talk about loss.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, it's talking about it that helps us heal.
Yeah, it is. And I don't even like talking about it.
I know.
But how have you, I'm sure you've experienced it since being more involved in this. How have you protected yourself?
Well, I do an energetic protection, first of all. But in addition to that, it's kind of, how do I say? It's almost like an emotional protection as well. You know, yes, I get attached to these animals, but I find that, you know, my purpose kind of extends beyond talking to them when they're alive, right? I am able to help bring some comfort and some closure, and just to share the love of that pet, even after they've crossed over. You know, once they're in spirit, I can still share with their person all of that pet's feelings and love. And it just really puts me in a position to really be able to help. And that's what I focus on.
Interesting. When owners are getting, you know, I'm sure coming into this, or even, again, I wish I had somebody that I could be like, oh, so-and-so is getting ready to cross, as you say. And how do the animals need to be prepared themselves, or how does that, have you had one reach out and be like, I need you to talk to mom. This is going to be hard for her.
Yeah. The really beautiful thing about our pets is that they always want to do what's best for us. Right. And
I don't know about that. I got a really bad boy. Okay, sorry.
Well, at least when it comes to end of life.
Yeah.
Let's put it in context.
Yeah.
Pets understand life and death and beyond. Okay. And a lot of times what they're trying to do is help their person understand it. We as humans, we feel like our relationship, our bond with our pets ends when they die. But that's not the case. You know, their jobs may change, right?
Yeah.
But they are still connected with us and they still want to, you know, play roles in our lives.
I could see that. I felt I was close. I had a cat, Silo, who was very attached to me. And he had a long, long life with me. Unhealthy at the end, but, you know, I think one thing we do is tend to let them, because personally, just on my own personal belief here, that I think we have the gift of being able to let them go and be able to have a better ending for them through euthanasia than some people, you know, who struggle through and battle things. But we took Silo, I had him euthanized, and he's been wrapping around my legs lately in the kitchen in the morning. And I'm just it's so weird because I can just, it's like I feel him brush against me. And at first it startled me. I was not sure what was going on. So I'm not sure what he's trying to tell me or so, but it's been the last couple of weeks I've noticed him more and more around my legs in the kitchen.
Yeah. You know, and that's the thing. They will reach out to us in ways that we're going to recognize or ways that are meaningful to us. Mm-hmm. You know, it may not mean anything to anybody else if a dragonfly flies by, but if it was something that meant something when they were here, then more than likely it's a sign from them, right?
Yeah, they do like to, I think he's one. I don't see too many of my other ones, but every once in a while they come in the dreams.
Yes. Yes.
They do that.
In a very common way. Yes.
Yeah. They come in the dreams and think about them there and subconsciously thinking about them and reminiscing about them and remembering them as they were.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, it's gotta be hard going through this with people.
There's a lot of tears, you know. I provide Kleenexes for my people, you know.
Well, how do you do that if you're doing it over Zoom?
Oh, well, actually, I didn't even mention, I also do metaphysical fairs and different holistic fairs.
Okay.
And I do readings at the fairs.
Gotcha.
And so, yes, in those spaces,
sense.
I offer Kleenex. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I see. Okay. I was just like, wait, how, what?
Right. Wait a minute.
What, are you coming through the computers now, Deb?
I know, right?
You said you were tech.
A little spooky.
Yeah. So tell me, you know, we missed it in the first segment, but if somebody wanted to do a reading, if somebody had any questions of anything that you do, how can they reach you?
So I have a website and it's called heart2spirit.com. And also I'm on Facebook. again, heart to spirit. Email, of course, is always a good option. It's deb@hearttospirit.com. Okay. You might notice a theme there.
That's always good for business. Yeah. And are you on Instagram or LinkedIn or just sticking on?
Oh, I am on Instagram. Okay. And it's deb_animal_communicator.
Oh, okay. So a little different.
That's why I have to stop and think.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to come back. And in this next one, we're going to really kind of turn around to the caregivers and talk a little bit about that. And, you know, that Deb also is a animal hospice consultant. So I'm kind of very intrigued by this. So we will be right back. Welcome back to the Business of Pet Care. We are talking with Deb Hennen. And in this segment, we are going to shift our focus more inward to the caregivers and the professionals and the animal lovers who give so much of themselves, but often struggle to take care of their own well-being. So Deb, why is it so hard for us? I'm going to lump us all in, pet professionals, to really prioritize ourselves and, what happens when we don't?
Yeah. So I think what happens is usually people who are in any sort of pet care profession, okay, whether that be a groomer, a vet, an animal communicator, you know, anybody, we are caring people, right? We are caring people, we're giving people. And I think for us, it's always the hardest to figure out where do we need boundaries, where do we need, you know, how do we prevent burnout? And I also think because we get so focused on animals and others that sometimes we don't even notice the signs until it's like, blah.
This is a common topic that is often talked about in grooming a lot. Obviously I'm inundated in the grooming world myself. And, but also, I mean, that's, I couldn't imagine. I mean, I know that there is a very high suicide rate for veterinarians. Yes. And that has a lot to do with, probably what they take from the animals coming in and that they have a hard time releasing that, because they're not just taking the animals, but it's the people as well, their emotions. Yes. And that's, it's different than doctors.
I believe it is. You know, when it comes to our animals, our emotions run high, right?
Yeah.
You know, if there's something wrong with my dog, I want to know. Right. Yeah. I want to know, how do we fix it? What are next steps? All of that. And then especially when you move, you know, you get, you talk about the euthanasia side of things. Right. Yes. It's really important for us to take care of ourselves. You know, we can see burnout starting or, you know, the emotional signs, physical signs, even sort of work or animal care related signs. Mm-hmm. Things like, you know, feeling resentful up to the animals or the people we care for. You know, things like just feeling emotionally drained. There's so many signs of burnout that it's important for us to notice them, right?
Yeah. Oh, I was just thinking about, you know, that there's a lot of young generation in the like pet sitting and dog walking and the daycares and boarding kennels, mm-hmm. Even in the grooming as bathers. And there's been a lot of recent outpour of animal abuse and people videoing it, or other team members videoing it and then putting it on social media. And these are obviously people that didn't get into the industry because they don't love animals, but something drove them to that point. And it's becoming more and more of a problem in the industry. I don't even know. We've been talking about this and trying to figure out how does this end in the grooming industry? I mean, it's unacceptable.
Yes, absolutely. And the way it ends is for us to start looking at ourselves and really taking care of ourselves. You know, how many groomers work, you know, a long shift without ever really taking a break or without stepping outside and, you know, kind of even see Mother Nature at all, right?
Yeah. Well, and that comes from poorly run businesses.
Well, yes, exactly.
If your business is there, there's too many not trying to throw anyone under the bus or anything, but I mean, the industry's got its skeletons and you can't work an 8-hour day on your feet.
Right.
And not think by the end of the day, you're going to be burnt out and have to come back and do it again tomorrow. Because schedules aren't properly scheduled and it's bad.
Yeah. And especially like in those cases, you know, we need to think about self-care practices, mm-hmm. right? Whether that's going to be time in nature, you know, going for a walk. If your feet are tired, maybe you just sit in the backyard, you know. Journaling. We found that, you know, even journaling, because you get it out. You get it onto paper. You get all that emotion out.
Yeah, yeah.
And that can really be almost sort of a cleansing thing, right?
Yeah.
What are some of the others? You know, energy healing, Reiki is a really good way to, you know, help people get their energy balance.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, I think, a lot where as people we mess up, mm-hmm. you know, we think more, but what we really need to be thinking about is balance. Mm-hmm. When I first started as an animal communicator, I would take clients any day of the week, right?
Just to get them in.
Building up that business.
Setting the boundaries, but
then I finally figured out I have got to set boundaries for myself. Because mm-hmm. if I don't, people are going to think, okay, She's available. And I figured out as much as I love this, I was getting burnt out because I wasn't taking care of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is important. That is something I've been for the last, I try to get to a monthly massage.
Yes, exactly.
That's kind of my time now is it's like, okay. But I found this last time I had a epiphany for the business. All off. Forget it. She was like, Dara, this is a waste of my time. What is wrong with you? I'm like, oh, just take notes while I'm talking. Take notes. She's like, mm-hmm. I'm massaging you. I can't take notes. I'm like, is there anybody else who can come into the room and take notes? And I was like, that was really a wasted massage because I was so twisted. I was like, oh, I know exactly what I need to do now. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
But so much for taking time for ourselves. Well, we are going to come back next. And again, I know we haven't talked yet about that. The hospice consultant, that is just, so hopefully we can bring that into this next sure. segment, but we're also in this next segment when we come back is going to be talking about bridging the worlds between science and the spirit world. Welcome back to the Business of Pet Care. If you are still loving what you're watching, don't miss a moment of the Business of Pet Care or any of your favorite Now Media TV shows. Live or on demand, anytime, anywhere. And again, don't forget, you can get and download the free app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our full lineup of all bilingual programming. And that is in English and in Spanish. So there you go. Make sure you are watching, and for business and breaking news to lifestyle and culture and everything in between, Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready whenever you are. Whew. Oh, it's always such a mouthful to come back through there. So for our closing segment with Dent Pennant, and again, I got to make sure we get your info and all your facts, Deb. We are stepping once again into a conversation, and something that I think a lot of people are really interested in is how do you bring the science part into this spiritual holistic world? Well, I was going to say, Deb, you know, because I own a school and we talk about the arts and science of what we do at the school for groomers. And we've brought in a part of the holistic world. And I think holistic is used a lot out of context in many places and used very lightly sometimes. But I look at holistic and think, which is why the name of the school is The Whole Pet, and why I didn't use holistic, because I think of the whole pet and think of everything, the environment, everything that goes around it. And I wanted everything to fall right into place with this. But we are very, very science-backed, even though we teach animal communication. We do teach self-awareness of your energy. And, you know, we get into some of these other holistic practices as well. I think it's more open in a lot of areas now, but bridging that Western medicine and that new way. I mean, I like some of the, I do have a holistic vet myself, so I'm kind of rambling on here, Deb.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, you know, I really believe that both the science and the spiritual side are absolutely necessary in the care of our animals. You know, science gives us that foundation, whether it's a veterinary or nutrition or grooming. And that practical knowledge keeps them physically healthy and safe, right? But then if we bring in the spirit world side, that acknowledges that people and animals have that inner side, the emotions, the wisdom, the unique soul connection with us. And by combining science and spiritual, you know, we're able to address the pet as a whole. Mm-hmm. We're not just stuck in one side or the other.
Yeah. And that's so important because, you know, someone's got a, sorry, I have a guest now. So she decided, this is Beatrice, wanted to be part of the show tonight. How can someone who trusts their vet and with, and that medicine side, you know, and then also bridge it and bring in the energy side if the vet isn't as open to it?
So, you know, if their current vet isn't as open, I encourage people to start with what they trust, right? Mm-hmm. If you trust the medicine side, then start with that. But then if you want to introduce it, start, you know, a trick is to start by using familiar words, okay? Words that the vet is already aware of, right?
Okay.
Basically language they trust, okay? And lead with curiosity, you know? Ask them, have they ever thought about, or do you know anybody who does this? You know, because maybe your whole picture for your pet is not just one person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It may be a Western veterinarian. It may be someone who does acupuncture. It may be an animal communicator. I like to say, you know, we work well as a team.
Yeah.
Drop my water.
Oh.
We work well as a team, right? Yeah. Everybody has their focus or their specialty, but that doesn't mean we have to be a specialist in everything, right?
Right. Yeah, because nobody can be a specialist or an expert in everything.
Right. And, you know, things like sharing stories about what you've observed with other practices, you know, or how Reiki helped your dog, right? And then that vet might be more open to considering it.
Right. Yeah, sometimes it is hard. I think it's becoming more and more common now, and people are looking mm-hmm. for more untraditional ways of doing things, especially less evasive ways of doing things. Because yes. I think sometimes in the veterinary world, it can get a bit evasive quickly, and it's so expensive.
Right.
And I mean, I know crazy sounds in, but people who have mortgaged their house to pay emergency bills and just to, based off of what the animal is going through, and having that, we got to try A, B, and C first before we do C, D, you know, before we do the rest. Do you think that harmony is coming together?
I do. You know, I think that, I think it's very possible. I mean, for example, my vet office, who's, they've always been very traditional medicine based, they now have someone who does acupuncture.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people are working more with nutrition, right? That we want to find what helps that pet. A dog who tends to be reactive, you know, they usually need a little less protein in their diet than, you know, someone else. So by looking at all of the pieces, right, it, I think it's very possible to work together. And again, you know, just having people you can refer to, even if you don't, even if someone doesn't want to have this in their own office, having those people you can refer to, I think is huge.
Yeah, yeah, that is so true. And just having, like you said, a nice team together, whether they work together or not, you can, there is a way to do it properly.
Yeah.
There is a professional way to do it. So this has been so fun. I've had a good time with you on here. I'm going to throw this out there. We got a few more minutes.
Okay.
You haven't met Beatrice. So for anybody
Beatrice.
Who has never, I didn't say it, Deb said it, who has never had or saw a reading.
Oh, gosh.
While we have little Miss here, is there, let's see, Beatrice. Yes. Okay. I'm going to ask Beatrice. Right now, we have all of our doors open. She can go out into her lovely fenced-in backyard. And why is she choosing to potty on the carpets instead of going outside?
Okay, there's something. She's been trying to get your attention. And you haven't exactly been noticing. She says you've been distracted lately.
Okay.
And so this is her way of getting your attention.
It has just started in the last 3 days.
Yep. And so what I would suggest is, what has your energy been like in the last 3 days?
Right? Busy.
Very busy. Yes. And so Beatrice is feeling a little kind of not paid attention to, a little left out. She says she wants you to come sit with her outside. That's what you need.
Man, that's exactly what I need. I have been saying it too. And you know what? I will say, today, she did not potty on the carpet. I put my phone timer on. And I got up and went outside twice today.
There you go.
So, so much fun. Thank you so much, Deb. I want real quick, tell us again, tell everyone, how can they reach you? Because I know now they all want a reading.
Okay. So it's hearttospirit.com with the number 2. Also, email deb@hearttospirit.com, Facebook, Heart to Spirit, and Instagram is deb_animal_communicator.
Thank you, Deb. This has been a real powerful reminder that pet care is not just It is about the animals, but it's also about us as well. And it has been such an honor to sit here and talk to you and talk about all of this. So thank you again. Mm-hmm. And everyone out there, make sure you hook up with Deb, because she is truly a special woman.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.